Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present Life Talk Live, a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health. A show about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Coleman. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Life Talk Live, Dr. Howard Rogers.
Good afternoon. It's so good to have you listening in on our second show. Last week we talked about depression, and sometimes it gets just blown out of kilter when you're unable to pull it all together because of the magnitude of the numbers. We're going to try to focus this week on depression with women. Good friend Carol Beery is sitting in with us, and I understand you've had quite a bit of experience working with women with depression and other issues.
Yes, since 2011 when we started Restoring Women Outreach here in Coleman.
Tell me a little bit about Restoring Women Outreach.
It is a sober living facility here in our community. Right now we have six homes that are spread throughout the city of Coleman, and we stay in the city of Coleman, one, for transportation reasons, and number two, it offers better guidelines of housing people. You know, we have to follow regulations for, like, the fire marshal and just different regulations that I think is a good thing that all halfway houses should follow.
So, what are the requirements maybe for a woman getting housed in one of these places?
You just have to say you have a drug or an alcohol issue. And if you reach out to us for help, there's a process that you go through, and, you know, we'll be able to give you an application, look at that application, talk to you, and you have to be clean. You cannot have any drugs or alcohol in your system. Our insurance will not allow that. So they have to be clean.
Squeaky clean.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, we want them to not be in a detox situation when we take them in. Now, I can tell you, just because they pass a drug test does not mean that they do not hurt sometimes when they come in. You know, the drugs and the alcohol have a lasting effect that's not over once that clean drug test comes in. but we get girls, a lot of girls now from the diversion office. Mm-hmm. We have re-entries from Tutwiler. And they are able to do some of their sentence with us, and it reintroduces them into their community in a positive way.
So it's not just for women from Coleman County.
We do have occasional women from Blount County, some maybe Morgan County, surrounding areas, but no, we try to stay with Coleman women. Good. That's what it was designed for, and that's what we want it for.
So is there an average age that you see coming into these homes?
We've had everything from 18. We had a young lady that turned 19 the first week she was with us. 19 to 64, I think, is the oldest we've ever had.
Okay, are they married, single?
They are a little bit of both. A lot of, more so I would say, are single. Maybe they're not divorced, but they've been single for a while. And we see a lot of people with children, without children, grown children. So, you know, we have everything from grandmothers to young teenage, well, not teenage, but young mothers in their 20s. So, yeah.
So they're there. They don't have to pay rent, utilities, or how is it they maintain staying there?
They do pay rent. And we charge 65% of everything that you make. So we tried to do that. I wrote that program a little bit different than any that I'd seen. I traveled throughout the state of Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and looked at different programs. I wanted to see numbers that were working. Show me who was doing recovery well.
Right.
I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. So what we did, we traveled and volunteered, asked to see the program, see their manuals, and a lot of people were very gracious in letting me do that. And I brought them back, and a good friend, Mike Eckenrod, he He paid for his wife and I to go to the beach for a week, and we sat for a whole week and did not go out to the beach. And we wrote this program. We would sit and type and write. And so Lisa and Mike Eckenrod were huge in helping me get this off the ground.
They're very great friends. Oriented,
they are. They are really very. Are. And we miss them now in Cuomin. You know, they at the beach now. So miss them because they were very community minded. They were good friends.
So if the woman and her husband are there, is he required to be clean too?
We do not have men on the premises. It's only women.
Okay.
And so when you come in, you have a 30-day stay when you do not get to see any of your family, only by letter. There's no telephone. There's nothing. You have 30 days to adjust. And then they earn the privilege of going home for visits, where they're starting at 4 hours and then ending up, you know, weekends at a time. And then we actually have some three-quarter living houses where your children can come and stay with you.
Oh, wow.
So it's a beautiful thing. And there's an age limit on some of that, and a lot of things we have to hoops we have to jump through, but that has really been a blessing.
When they're checking in, do you do any kind of testing for depression or a checklist for depression on the people that you're accepting?
No. We usually, let's say we're getting someone from most everyone has already had an evaluation, okay? Mm-hmm. And most women, especially if they're coming from detox or from prison, they may even have a script for something. Now, they know what medications they can take when they're there, and, you know, if you send us your list of medications, you may not be able to be accepted for us because we don't have a medical staff.
Right.
You know, we're not large enough to do that. So we do not have a nurse on staff. So there are some medications we can't accept people that are on those medications. But some medications are acceptable. And you'd probably know more about that than I would. But you know, the non-narcotic kind of things. So, and, you know, I would say a lot of what we deal with is just a situational depression. It's not the clinical depression, and we have seen that in women. But when we recognize that, Dr. Rogers, we call immediately and get them moved to another facility. We're not equipped to handle that.
Right. Do you have a feel for what percentage of women that come into your homes have symptoms of depression?
I would say everyone.
Everyone.
I mean, you know, there's some hide it probably better than others, or it's manifest itself in, you know, the big joker sometimes is the most depressed, and I'm sure you can probably share more on that than I can. I am not a professional, let me say that right out of the gate. I've had 2 years of psychology at Wallace, so I would definitely say I'm not a professional. But
you don't need professionals to care, though, do
right?
You?
No, and you know, experience has been, you know, I can think of one young lady that was clinically depressed, and that one was probably one of the scariest moments I've had in starting RWO. That I walked the fence line with her for quite a while, and I thought she might have been even suicidal on me. I called Wellstone, and back then it was Cuomin Area Mental Health, and I have to say they did not come, but there was a former employee that was working in Morgan County, and she drove from Morgan County and came up, and she helped me. She did get the young lady in with Cuomin Area Mental Health the next day, and I can tell you today that girl has 5 years clean.
Wow.
She just needed some medication to get her over that hump. She's 5 years clean. She didn't think she would ever have her children back, and she has both of them back. So it's beautiful.
Great.
I seen
great.
Her daughter's graduation pictures on Facebook and cried.
Let me take just a minute here. You've used a couple of terms, clinical depression and situational depression. Situational depression is if you've had to move out of your house, you've lost your job, various and sundry things that you find yourself in a situation where anybody in their right mind would be depressed. Clinical depression is if there's a chemical deficiency in your mind, your dopamine levels, your serotonin levels, and things like that. It doesn't matter the situation, you're still going to be depressed. So for our listeners there that might be trying to differentiate between the two, I just want to stop and throw that in. The level of depression with these women, I would imagine, would maybe vary depending on the severity of their situation, from mild to moderate to severe?
Yes, and again, we're getting people when they're on the milder side. Mm-hmm. You know, by the time we get someone, they're either, they've been in jail for quite a while, and not that that would cure depression by any means, but maybe they've had some medication to get through that, or, you know, right, something like that, especially from a detox unit. A detox mm-hmm. unit is the perfect setting for us to get women, because they, you know, they have had some medication, they're not sick, and it's just a better situation for us. And they could show us, you know, a lot of times we don't get women sent to us that don't need to be with us, because they know what we do and what we specialize in, and sometimes women need more than that, so they'll just bypass us on their list of trying to place someone.
So there is a screening process yes. in place, which mm-hmm. makes it a lot easier on you.
Yes.
No surprises. Works better that way.
Yes.
This is a call-in show. If you have a question, please feel free to give us a call at 256-737-9505. And I'll make a deal with you. If you'll call us, we won't call you. You never know. And we do have a topic each week that we use, so we won't just sit here and ramble. But if you have a question about something that's different from our topic, please feel free to give us a call. I am with Carol Berry. We are discussing depression in the women's population in Cullman. Is there anything about the women that come through your residences that set them apart from most other women?
Well, as far as like depression, I think my women definitely are self-medicating, you know, the women we work with. And let me just stop and say, the women we work with are some of the most beautiful women, intelligent women. I've had everything from college professors to lawyers to, you know, I mean, addiction knows no boundaries, right? I think the Coleman's overall view that I've experienced, in my own experience, is all I can speak from, is the ones you see ran in the paper and the ugly comments, and, you know, that's not who that person is. That is their addiction.
Right.
And if they could see what I see in that person, what God created that person to mm-hmm. be, it is not that person. And I would dare say anybody could live through what some of the women that I've worked with has lived through and not come out a little scarred,
right,
a little hurt.
You're so right. Addiction knows no boundaries, and it's so easy to say, well, that would never happen to me. But if you knew the functioning alcoholics in Cullman, I think it would probably blow your mind away. It really would. And I think when we begin to think that we are different, it moves us into a different area. We aren't. It could happen to us. And having worked in mental health and several other counseling venues, it is amazing what you find in those areas when the people are coming in, and they come in ashamed sometimes, because what are people going to say if they find out that I'm having visits to the mental health? What are people going to say if they find out that I'm taking medication? And I try to share with them that if you look at your body from the neck down, it's okay to take medicine if you have a problem, but from the chin and neck up, you're not allowed to take medication. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So we look at the women coming into your residences at the outreach, and we can't say that they're just the outcast of society.
No.
We can, and I wish we could get over that.
I do, too. And, you know, at Restoring Women, I didn't finish. You know, it's hard to be at Restoring Women. They have to have a job. They have to pay back. You know, in the recovery world, all we have to do, if they're at a halfway house or three-quarter house, you can write, in our case, Lisa Maxwain, and say, Miss Max Wayne, I have Mr. Rogers with me, Mrs. Rogers, it'd have to be a woman, that is with me. She'll be here for a year, and we need her fines or restitution, child support, everything put off. It's put off for a year. Well, when I noticed this was going on, I was like, this is setting people up for failure.
Yes.
Now, you're taking someone, I don't know if your audience knows, but if you enter active addiction at 14 years old and you stay there, and you, so I may have a 55-year-old woman sitting in Restoring Women Outreach, but her mind is what? 14 years old. Mm-hmm. She has no life skills, no coping skills. She doesn't understand a budget, nothing. There's no life skills there. So what we work very hard with is working on the life skills.
Wow.
Working on budgeting. We don't let you not pay back. You pay your fines all the way. We have paid back over $200,000 since 2011 when we started.
So there's no forgiveness of past.
No. No, I mean, we call, on our end, we just say it's a hand up, not a handout. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women leave our program with little or no debt, and they are really ready to start a life again. And then we also require 10 hours a week of community service in different levels. And this week, they worked at the German Fest, and Nancy Moore's great, great help to us at Restoring Women Outreach. I love what Nancy does, and she gets these ladies, and they work side by side with some of the best women in Coleman County, and they, because I want them to know, you are enough. You're just as good as the Nancy Moore, mm-hmm. and Nancy Moore lets them know, you have just yeah. as much right to be here as I do, and they serve. We've had them serve beside judges, and you know, Matt Gentry, Chef Gentry. I mean, it's good for them to be in the community and be a part of helping.
It speaks so much to their self-esteem, doesn't it?
Yes.
And that's one of the things that when I was working in mental health that I saw that was heartbreaking was they have absolutely no self-esteem, no self-worth, no self-value, nothing. They think they're just worthless parts of society, and that isn't true.
And it's a beautiful thing to watch that change.
Oh, I bet it is.
It is beautiful. It's life-changing, and I have made some of my best friends at RWO.
Is there a return rate, or do you allow that?
We do allow it. I actually have two girls right now that have returned from when I was the director, and now again, we have a new director in summer, Burden. And so there's some ladies right now came back, and they're doing beautifully. No, we're always, I want them back. Hey, if you want to come back, you have to stay out 30 days if you get kicked out. But after 30 days, we want you to come back.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great. So it's not a final thing when you leave. Now, you mentioned you have a different director now. What are you doing now?
Well, I, I ran for probate judge, in case you missed that.
Yeah.
But and the reason I ran is just exactly what we're talking about, dual diagnosis. That's what made me run in that race. But right now, I've just started today, actually. We launched Community with Carol with the Coleman Tribune, which will be a recorded show for Facebook, Instagram. And then they'll run an article on that, and then they'll share it to their site. So I'm excited
about
it. Good
luck with that.
Thank you.
Let me interject one thing. You mentioned dual diagnosis. That is when the people you see have not only a drug or alcohol problem, but they have a problem with depression, schizophrenia.
Bipolar.
Bipolar. So many things. So it's any mental health diagnosis coupled with a drug or alcohol problem. And is that real prevalent?
Yes. The Centers of Disease Control says it's 1 in 4, and it's more prevalent in women than men. So I don't know, the numbers are maybe a little bit higher there. It is also, I would say, in that almost everybody we work with has dual diagnosis. I would say it's almost all.
Okay, hold that thought.
Okay.
We're going to take a commercial break. We'll see you on the other side of the commercial. We'd love to talk with you. Give us a call, 256-737-9505.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
This is Dylan Deemer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, a preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our Game of the Week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Live 95, Coleman's independent radio, is proud to present Life Talk Live, a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health, a show about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Coleman. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Life Talk Live, Dr. Howard Rogers.
Welcome back. I'm here with Carol Berry. We broke talking about dual diagnosis, and my question to Carol was, how many of the people that they see in all probability have dual diagnosis? And you gave me the answer of,
I would say almost all.
Yes. Almost all of them.
Almost all.
That brings up the question, other than maybe depression, what other mental health diagnosis might you see?
Anxiety, eating disorder, cutting, I think bipolar, probably a big one, which brings the depression and, you know, mm-hmm. that all that into play. Those are just a few that I can think of just right off the bat. Eating disorder, we've, you know, worked with people that's been a huge issue, for people. So
anorexia, bulimia.
Yes, all that. Mm-hmm. And that really hinders their recovery, you know, and it's hard. And let me just say here, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate, you know, what other people in this community do. They're, you know, Sherry Brown, Rick Cosper,
Great people, those
two. Yeah, Annette McCain, mm-hmm. Melody Campbell. These people, Wayne Dunn, they've stepped out and stepped up. When I mean, the people that we work with, they don't have insurance. You know, they think there's nowhere to go. All these people have stepped up and really helped us throughout the years. And I can't say enough good things about them. You know, it's just been a blessing. And again, helping us determine that, you know, how to help somebody. There's another lady, I can't think of her name, that works really well with the eating disorders. I'm sorry, I should have wrote her name down, but she really works hard too. You know,
I knew a lady
that
did that, but she moved to Las Vegas.
She used to be down toward the old Walmart, so I don't remember her name. She's not there anymore.
I know who you're talking about, and I think she moved to Las Vegas.
Oh, okay, good.
She did. The dual diagnosis, you're right, you need someone to work with the people, you need someone to prescribe medications, and if they have no insurance, and as you mentioned, most of them don't, it takes some community effort.
It does. It does, and I'm so thankful for, like I said, the great people here. Corman's a great place to live.
It is.
It is.
Love it.
It is. And, you know, our women don't forget that either, the people that have helped them. So
the dual diagnosis, I think the big difficulty with it is that in a lot of occasions that I'm familiar with, and you might speak to this with your population, is they weren't alcoholics or drug addicts until they were diagnosed with a mental health disease. Or maybe they weren't diagnosed and they were looking for medication and they couldn't afford it, or they didn't want to go to the doctor. So as the term you used earlier, they self-medicate. And that means in the terminology of the mental health community that they used whatever legal drug and in a lot of occasions illegal drugs to, I guess, numb themselves to the difficulty they were having in their mental health diagnosis.
Right, and when you're looking at women that, like we talked about a few minutes ago, that have been using active addiction at age 14, 12 sometimes, you know, they've never had a good diagnosis before. They started self-medicating before the diagnosis came. But most women that we see have had some type, if they've been through detox and been through some things like that, they've had a diagnosis of some of these things. Again, that's why I was in that probate race, because I felt like there was a law that said if you have a dual diagnosis with the primary diagnosis being a mental health issue other than drugs and alcohol, the drugs and alcohol can be the secondary diagnosis,
right,
then they can help. But we're seeing nobody get help, and they will not use that law. And when your official says, when your probate judge says that drug and alcohol addiction is not a mental illness, there's no way they're going to use that law. And that's why I ran that race. It infuriated me that the community that I loved and I served since 2011, I knew people were dying. I knew people were dying, and I knew of a near-miss story, which I told on the election trail. That was a true story, Dr. Mm-hmm. Rogers. That
really?
Happened.
Wow.
And I knew if she was that near miss, that there was people that died during that, okay? And it's just sad. You know, it's sad that, you know, maybe we wouldn't have all these people out here on drugs stealing and doing the things that they're doing if we could get a good diagnosis on them and get them the help that they need. Brandy Drake's back at Wellstone. Did you know that?
Did not.
She is back, and I'm glad to see her back. Brandy's helped me a lot through the years, mm-hmm. and excited about that. A young man at Wellstone named Trey that's doing preventative action, some preventative work, and very proud to see what he's doing. And all that's free.
Good.
All that's free,
good.
And I want people to go and use those tools because they're available and they're free. And so people can go there. Brandy Drake does a beautiful job with her program.
One of the things that people may not realize is that cigarettes are one of the primary cures for depression. And we wonder why in the Army and wars that they sent so many cigarettes to the soldiers, because if you're depressed, a cigarette will knock the depression edge off. Now, as time goes on, it's going to come back, and you'll need more and more and more. But that is one of the things that started the, you know, okay, I'll self-medicate. I'm not feeling real well. I'll have a cigarette, and it'll pick you up momentarily. But then it'll bounce you off the floor, and you will need another one. That's the reason they were shipping cases of them to soldiers to try to help with their depression.
I did not know that, but that's, you know, we let people smoke at RWO. If you have the money to smoke, then you can do that. And that's just something I've always thought, well, you know, a lot of places, some of the faith-based places do not allow them to smoke. And, you know, I just have to look at it as myself and think, would I stay somewhere if you just took everything away from me, you know? So that'd be hard, you know?
Well, if you're an addict, the last thing you want to take away from them is the one thing that it's harder to control. And people may not realize this, but it's easier to get someone off cocaine than it is off nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier. So why would you want to set them up to fail by saying you can't have a cigarette?
Right. We love that.
Yeah, we can move along with that. And I think other than depression, the other things, you have bipolar, you have anxiety, and we may not have really good diagnoses on the rest of them, but that's just something that that we have to work with. In looking at your treatment facilities, there has to be more than one thing that they need when they're in there. Could you walk us through maybe some of the things that they need while they're in the facility?
Well, we work the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. We work a 12-step program, and that seems to work for us, for what we do. We also do group that is managed by, Summer is 4 months away from having her license, okay? But so right now she has to be supervised by someone else. And so we have two wonderful people out of Morgan County. I think there's actually three of them that come on a rotating basis. And she holds group with the girls every week. They let her do it for her clinicals, and then they do it. So I think she does once a month, and then the other three do one. So that's good. And like last week, they went to Hurricane Creek Park and did group outside and a scavenger hunt.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We really do hands-on things. Then if you have, you know, another thing is post-traumatic or whatever.
PTSD.
Yes.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
We have a lot of that. And I don't know if you know, but Sherry Brown does a thing with we've seen a lot of success with her doing that. So, you know, we try to tweak it where a girl needs help, but mainly what we do is just try to work with them on how to live, how to spend their money, and go to meetings and just living life on life's terms.
About one-on-one counseling, do you have
they
that?
They do have that right now if it's needed. Again, a lot of them don't have insurance, so it's just maybe sometimes not what you would get if you had insurance, but we do try to do that. I think Christina McLemore does a little bit of that for us now. Like I said, Rick, Sherry, all those people I named before, that's what they've been involved in. You know, somebody that just really is struggling.
What about medical care, Carol?
They use the Good Samaritan Clinic or just, you know, different doctors that the girls can go to. And right now, if we have a medical emergency, just the emergency room, I mean, and those girls have to pay for that eventually, but it's all we have. So, but the Good Samaritan Clinic and some other places are really blessings to us. And they can get medication that, you know, everything's there on their income. So the only thing is our girls, once they've been in the program for a while, they, you know, we don't allow them to work 40 hours at the beginning because it's just overwhelming, because we'd rather see them do two meetings a day than work all day. But there at the end, those girls are working a lot, you know, so they don't qualify for that toward the end.
Wow. So they work to get ahead, and by doing so, they're unable to get care that they need because they're making too much to get the care, but not enough to afford the care.
There you go. Yes. But
oh my.
But they make it, you know. I tell you, those The women I work with are fighters. They are, you know, they are fighters and they are overcomers. And again, that's just something they do. Now, we push education hard.
Right.
To graduate our program, you have to get your GED. So mm-hmm. sometimes people stay in over a year because they don't have their GED. But I think that's a big, education to me is a big part. And right now we have 3 graduates in college.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one measure of stats that show the program is working.
Our success rate's 71% right now.
Hmm. Wow. That's as good as and probably better than most that you're going to run across.
Mm-hmm. We're proud of that. Very proud of that.
Yes.
Summer does a wonderful job.
That's a great thing to happen. Do you think that you're going to expand to more houses?
I did an interview with Dawn Owens from Lunch at the Link, and she asked me if I had money, you know, if I had just an unlimited amount of money, what would I do with it? And I said, number one, I'd do a detox. Because right now, addiction has changed from 2011 to today. And we've got to keep people alive. You know, Summer is she's in recovery. And she said, I was in active addiction 18 years, but people are not living that long anymore.
No.
So we've got to really look at how we're treating addiction in this community. And I think detoxing would be a great thing. So I'd love to have a detox unit for the women. For everybody, really.
Do we have a detox unit in Coleman?
We do not.
I didn't think so.
We do not. So we not even have one close. Well, Bradford, Birmingham, that would be it. So that would be number one. Number two, I'd like to have apartments because as the women stay, like I said, we've set it up so they can stay later and their children can be a part of their recovery toward the end. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have a set of apartments that only Restoring Women Outreach graduates live in that we could, you know, it's hard when they get their children back there. They've never lived that way before.
Right.
So they're still having to make meetings. So we would like to take a meeting there to them so their kids could be there. And we could make sure they have a meeting a couple of nights a week. But the one thing is, like, teaching the women how to help their children with homework, how to pack a healthy lunch, how to just things that they've never maybe been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have, they haven't lived that way in a long time. So that would be a dream of mine. That would be a dream.
And I think as these women learn more self-care, it's been my experience that depression seems to dissipate because the lack of self-care, it's got to be rough to look in the mirror every morning and think, I don't know where I'm going to go, I don't know what I'm going to do, don't know what the kids are going to eat, even if I had it, I don't know how to prepare it. That has got to be defeating to these people.
Yes, and I think that in the 12 steps they talk about the promises coming true.
Yeah.
I think that whittles away a lot of that, too. I mean, that's my personal opinion. That's not a professional view on that. But I feel like when God's promises, they see that coming true. Like the young lady that I said, she had signed two of her children away, and she got them back. That's a promise that's promised to her in the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's beautiful. Gives her hope. And that's why our numbers are so high, because we have so many graduates. They have to come back and give so many hours a week, and they continue to do that, and they continue to stay clean. And it shows that new woman in the house that, hey, she stayed. You know, Sally Sue stayed, and look at her. She was worse than I was. You know what I'm saying? So it works. Yes,
she's
it's beautiful.
She's not depressed. She's not using. Things work out.
And that's why I didn't need to be the director. That's why Summer needed to be the director, because Summer can tell them.
She knows.
She understands, and she loves them in a way, even though I love them, Summer loves them in a different way.
Yeah, she does. You've mentioned God several times. I know you're a devoted Christian, so it's not about that. The question is, are these women encouraged to go to a church of their choice? Is there any requirement to that?
Yes, they are. At first, they all have to kind of go together wherever they vote to go. But if you don't want to go to church, you don't have to go to church. It's not forced on you.
Okay.
Because we work with women that have had bad things happen to them with people in church, and you don't want to cause them more hurt there.
We're going to stop for a moment, give you an opportunity to get to know our sponsors. We'll be back on the other side.
Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Cullman. Join us immediately following Sports Talk Live on Thursdays for a brand new show that will help our listeners focus on lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Join host Sandy Seibert each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for Path Changers, Habits of Health, immediately following Sports Talk Live, right here on the station that is all about Cullman, by Cullman, for Cullman. Live 95.5 FM, Cullman's Independent Radio.
Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant, has been a proud supporter of Live 95 since the early days. Angela at Scissor Salon does her best to keep you looking your best. Haircuts, colors, perms, scissors can handle them all. And walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you a talented artist, baker, or candlestick maker? Then you'll want to be set up at Maker's Market, happening December 15th from 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock, right in the middle of downtown Cullman at the Fest Hall Market Platz. Located in the heart of Cullman's beautiful historic warehouse district, vendor applications are being accepted now. More information on the festival itself or how to become a vendor, you can visit the Maker's Market page on Facebook, or you can send an email to makersmarketcullman@gmail.com. It's the 2018 Maker's Market coming to downtown Cullman, December 15th from 9 until 4 at the Fest Hall Market Platz.
Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, is proud to present Life Talk Live, a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health. A show about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Cullman. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Life Talk Live, Dr. Howard Rogers.
Welcome back. This is a call-in show. If you have a question about any topic related to mental health, give us a call. We are here with Carol Berry discussing depression in women and some of the results of that. And she has some very good ideas, been through a lot with them, and been a very good resource. But I listened to everything that was going on. You know, that you've got these houses and you've got people in them, and some of them have kids visiting. How do you keep all that together?
Well, we have a staff of, let's see, 4 individuals right now, and then 2 full-time volunteers that come in when we need those. But our own women that have come through the program also are trained in peer support, which is a program that you need to have Summer on here. She can tell you more about this, but they go to train to work in the field of the halfway houses.
Wow.
And so we have, if you're a house mom for us, which means you live there, but you are over the house.
Now, wait a minute, you have people living in the house with the people that are staying in the house.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And their position is to do what?
Just make sure all the rules are followed. Make sure that everyone's in on curfew. Make sure that all the chores are done. I mean, we mow our own yard. We weed eat. We wash the vehicles. Some of the girls check the oil in the, it's amazing what that we, you're very self-sufficient when you leave RWO.
This is not one of the questions I had that I was going to ask you, but I'm just going to blindside you with it anyway. Do you see or have you been able to measure maybe the level of self-esteem in these women versus the time when they come as to when they leave?
Yes, it's beautiful. We ask them to write down their goals, maybe day two or three, and then we look at those goals and how many they've done throughout their stay, like at 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, at 12 months. And some of them, their priorities have changed so much from those first goals. They say, I can't even believe I wrote that down. That's not what I want. Mm-hmm. You know, so they change so much. And yes, you know, it may be a relationship they were in. And they're like, oh, that was not for me, you know. But it's just a beautiful thing to watch them grow into. And that's our motto is, you know, helping you become the woman God created you to be. Because you see, when they walk through those doors, we see potential. We see promise. We see something different than what I've always said, if the women could see their self like we see them that first day. Because mm-hmm. we really see the end. If they stick it out. And it's hard to stick it out. It is hard to stick it out. 12 months, you know, just pretty much
under the microscope.
Yeah, really. Uh-huh. Mm. And, you know, but when they do it, it's, like I said, it's beautiful. And there's some people that can go through the motions that are called institutionalized.
Right.
And actually, one of our staff members, I remember calling her in one day and saying, you know, she wasn't going to cause any problems. She knew how the game goes. She'd been to prison and the whole thing. And I called her in there. I was like, you're so, you know, are you really getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you could do this at jail. You could go back to prison because she was a diversion, I think.
Right.
I said, but you're not. And, you know, once she figured it out, she works mm-hmm. for us now. You know, it's beautiful.
I think one of the biggest things that young girls and middle-aged women, old women, whatever, need to begin learning, and I think they ought to teach it in school, is self-esteem. Because very few people that have good self-esteem get depressed. Very few people, especially women with low self-esteem, are not depressed. So I think they should start teaching self-esteem. There's a great book. I think it's about $10 at any bookstore you want to go to. 10 Days to Self-Esteem.
I've never heard of that.
By David Burns. It's a workbook. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It walks you from where you are to where you need to be. And I have, if you come in, if you're a young girl and you come in my office and I diagnose you with self-esteem issues, you're going to Books a Million and you're going to buy 10 Days to Self-Esteem and you're going to work it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do that, you begin to see them, as you say, you know, what are my goals? And how do I reach my goals? And I go a three-step process. What are your immediate goals? Mm-hmm. What are your goals in 5 years? Tell me about your bucket list. Mm-hmm. And those go to changing once their self-esteem builds. Because once you believe that you are worthwhile and worth something, then what you demand for yourself changes. And I think that's what you're telling me you see happen here with the ladies in the
When you said program. That, it made kind of hurt my heart, because I don't think some of the women, most of the women that when they first come in and we get them to write those goals, they can't see 20 years down the road. They can't see 5 years down the road. Mm. Everything's immediate.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about God again. I think we have to let them figure it out and God change them, because mm-hmm. if I can't change someone, the Holy Spirit can. So we just try to love them where they are, and then mm-hmm. to watch God work in their world, watch God just change them, the way they dress, the way they act, the way they talk. Mm-hmm. You know, we see girls come in with a slang name, a street name, and by the end they don't want to be called that name anymore. Mm-hmm. Donna Owens has seen that in her program, too.
Mm-hmm.
That they take in. I think that's a great thing in that jail, and I wish that they would let them do it more. Because, see, it makes our job easier when they get out. If they've had anger management, if they've had parenting, and if they've had jobs for life in jail, by the time I get them, hey, we're one up now.
Right.
Now we can take off running, you know?
And they have, I think, maybe an attitude of, I can plan my way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. The everything up until this point has been immediate self-gratification. The joint, the syringe, whatever it is they're using, and there is immediate gratification. And it's almost impossible to look down the road and say, hey, the sun's coming up. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an amazing thing. What would you like to see for the future for people in Cullman County who have alcohol issues, drug issues that drive them into a dual diagnosis with depression, all of the other things that come with that?
I would like to see more attention paid to that problem, because I know since the election we've had 5 suicides.
Yeah.
That's where your suicides come in. And if we don't start looking at that, we're going to see more and more and more of that. I said that. I screamed that from the rafters. You know this, during the election. And after June 5th, we had 5 deaths. So, I know some of those were directly related, with the dual diagnosis. So we've got to, somebody's got to step up and do something.
There was a study, I don't know, many, many years ago, they actually did autopsies on suicide patients. And in doing the autopsy, they found that the serotonin levels in over 90% of them were lower, which means they were depressed, but they weren't getting the proper treatment. So I think you're right there. We need to step up. If someone tells you they're going to commit suicide, they're going to commit suicide. Right at that particular moment, they're going to commit suicide. So you need to do something about it. There is no such thing as, well, they're not going to do it. Yes, they are. They are. So I think maybe we need to work on that. I don't know how we work on that at this point, but
that's what I've been looking at. I'm trying to figure out ways that the community can step in. And it doesn't have to be a government agency.
So
that's what we're doing.
Doc Rogers, question from the radio booth back here. You come across somebody who makes a comment like that, what should you do? How should you react?
I would react by talking to them and doing the best I could to get them to a professional. And it may be difficult at first, but ask to have a professional come visit with them. Most people that do that, most people that get to the situation where they tell you they're going to commit suicide right then, have told someone before. There is no such thing in my office as a bluff. There's no such thing in my office as, they won't do it. Yes, they will. So the first time they do it, try to get them help. I have gone as far as locking my office door and saying, okay, there's one or two things going to happen here. You're either going to call your physician and they're going to put you in the hospital, or I'm going to call the sheriff, but you're not going to commit suicide today. And it's difficult to do, but take it seriously, Jay, I think is the most important thing. Take it seriously and try to get them help. And if they tell you they're going to commit suicide and they won't let you help them, call everybody you know and form a circle around them. Circle of love, circle of physical being, whatever. But make sure you do something at that particular time if they've told you they're going to commit suicide that prevents them from doing it. Other questions? I'm not sure how much time we have, but
got about 6 minutes.
About 6 minutes. Okay, I think maybe need to spend more time looking at at how to solve problems in our community. There's too much misinformation about depression in our community. There's too many people that shame people for going to mental health professionals. So I think we need to change that. As you and I have talked before, if you're taking medication for your heart, it's okay. But if you're taking medication for your head, people make fun of you. They laugh at you. And I don't know how we change that without changing the minds of a lot of influential people. And that's maybe clergy, maybe some physicians. I would like to see it get to where the medical profession, each time they write a script for a mental health-related diagnosis, refers that person to counseling. And as I shared with one physician, when you put someone on an antidepressant without any adjunctive counseling, it's like hooking a wrecker to a car. As long as that wrecker's pulling that car, it will go. But unless you take that wrecker and pull that car to a garage and get it repaired, it's never going to go anywhere without the wrecker pulling it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the medications are. As long as you got them on that medication, they're doing really well. Take them off and they're right back where they were. So I would like to see us maybe, you know, challenge the medical community to, if you put them on an antidepressant or a benzodiazepine, you send them to counseling. And there's one doctor here in Covenant that's really good at that. And if you don't go to counseling, you don't get any more medications. So it's a really good thing that they do that. And it would work. Counseling with medication works really well. Now, there's some cases where you got to have medication. There's some cases where, okay, counseling may do it, but the two of them together really, really work well. So I think we need to challenge people, first of all, though, to accept the fact that mental health is the same thing as physical health. If you're sick in your mind, it's the same thing as being sick in your body. And once we get to that, I think we're going to see a lot more people seeking mental health.
Well, and I think, you know, you see this all the time, the in addiction, it's a choice, not a disease. It's a choice, not a disease. And I want to challenge you, if that's your debate, to mm-hmm. look at studies, look at brain studies. There are scans that show, you know, when people may not think that they're harming people, but when you say it's not a disease, and I'm not copping out with the mm-hmm. disease thing. Just because you have a disease doesn't mean you can't do something about it. That's like saying, I have cancer, but I'm not going to go for chemotherapy or whatever because, you know, God's going to heal me of that. Well, I'm sorry. I've got to do what I've got to do to make myself healthy. The same thing if you have the disease of alcohol or alcoholism or addiction, you still got to put the work in. You still got to go and get your, maybe it's medication you need, maybe it's whatever that is. But we've got to stop saying that's not a mental illness.
Is it a choice? Is it a disease? Does it matter? They need treatment.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
And I think that's the point that we have to get to, that we need to accept the fact that alcoholism, depression, whatever, is as much an illness, as much a sickness as an ulcer or a migraine or anything else. And once we get there, I think we can move forward. People then will be willing to come to see a counselor. I tell every patient that I see, if I see you in Walmart, I will not speak to you unless you speak to me first. I can't break confidentiality. And I saw a teenager one night, almost hurt himself trying to get away from me because he was with a group of his friends and he was so afraid I was going to speak to him. And I told him later, I'm not going to speak to you in Walmart.
Right, right.
And that's a shame. If it had been a physician, they'd been overrunning talking to him. But, you know, a mental health professional, no, they're not going to do that. Carol, it's so good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Hope you'll come back sometime.
It. Well, thank you. I'm excited for you doing this. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is Howard Rogers. This is Life Talk Live. on Tuesday. Have a good evening.
This is Ed Horrell, founder of The Kindness Revolution. I heard a quote this week that I really like. It said, "Don't put the keys to your happiness in someone else's pocket." I like this. I think it means that we're each responsible for our own happiness and state of mind. I often hear people who say that they'll be happy when they find the person who'll make them happy, or the job, or the trip, or whatever. In any event, they feel like that it's up to someone else for them to be happy. I believe that for these people and for all of us, that the person who will really make us happy is already there. And it's us. So beginning this week, let's try to focus on what we already have that can make us happy. It might be our families, our friends, our health, our opportunities, our freedom. We might just find that our bliss is already in our own pockets, and all we need to do is look. To learn more, check us out at thekindnessrevolution.net.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. More than a dozen people homeless after an early morning apartment fire at Landmark Manor Apartments in Birmingham. Patrice Howard had to jump from her balcony with her daughter.
Someone, they helped us. He was down there. He told us to jump, just jump. So we jumped.
She injured her back, one person suffering minor burns to his foot. Battalion Chief Sebastian Carrillo says everyone made it out alive thanks to working smoke detectors.
Detectors are what's going to be your first line of defense because they're going to give you the initial warning to get out of the apartment.
He says 10 units at the complex suffered heavy damage. A man faces child sexual abuse charges in Hoover. 75-year-old John Wilbanks Jr. accused of abusing a family member as well as another young person. He's out of jail on bond. A Marshall County Corrections officer facing charges after being arrested for having drugs on him while on duty. Jail staff supervisor Zachary Smith found Saturday night with drug paraphernalia. He'd been working at the jail for just 3 months. He's since been fired. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Alabama is under a state of emergency, largely focusing on our southern counties as Hurricane Michael moves towards a Florida panhandle landfall. Governor Kay Ivey tells JT in Alabama's Morning News on WERC in Birmingham. Landfall's expected tomorrow afternoon or early evening.
We're focused right now on the Wiregrass, the Category 2, I'm told, and going to probably be a Category 3. Going to bring heavy rains for sure in the Dothan area and strong winds there as well.
An elderly man accidentally crashes his car into a supermarket. It happened at Gore's Market in Haleyville. 88-year-old Bill Waldrop accidentally driving into the market. No customers were harmed. He suffered only minor injuries. The store's south entrance is closed, but the market remains open. A $10,000 reward offered for information leading to arrests after the Fairfield Post Office was burglarized over the weekend. It's unclear what the thieves took. Once they're caught, they will face federal charges. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.